in the text, one little bit of many bits that I like, I think, because I recognize something of my experience in the words that are there. I think it's the Buddha speaking and saying, before there was a lot of, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's saying before there was a lot of energy, a lot of engagement, a lot of juice when I was sitting for thinking about, you know, sense pleasure, things fun that could happen or delightful that could happen, you know, maybe after I'll go on the kayak, you know, and kind of describing it. So sitting and thinking about these things, I would not fall asleep. You know, it was not boring. You know, so kind of like the mind thinking about pleasurable things. And so that was one. And then he says, also thinking about things that were related to ill will, you know, rehashing past stories or, you know, imagining future fights with somebody or disagreements. You know, I had a lot of energy for that. There was no falling asleep there, you know. And so do you recognize something in that? And then there is also something about things. That's the translation in English in the text I was reading. Like stuff was the word that was used. Thinking about stuff, whatever you sense you would make of that, whatever meaning you would give to this. Like I could sit here and think of stuff, you know, and think stuff up, you know. And I would not fall asleep, you know. You mean stuff, you could even maybe put the Dharma in there, like think about the Dharma, you're sitting, you know, and yeah, this Eightfold Path and Four Noble Truths and Four Foundations of Mindfulness, and if you take in the seven factors that Pascal named this morning, you know, and so this no falling asleep, no boredom, no doubt would arise about practice, you know. And then there's another one, which is self. So sitting, thinking about self, considering self, who I could be, could have been, will be, might be, etc. Lots of juice, you know. Again, no falling asleep. Just and in the text it says, and at some point, you know, there was an experience of renunciation, right? Where this was not so juicy anymore. You know, the mind would start like, yeah, but if I had started meditating when I was young. You know, and letting that one go, you know, so not being so fascinated, so enamored with sense pleasure, with ill will, with stuff or with self, you know, not being so fascinated by these thoughts productions and abandoning these thoughts to actually, wow, you know, recognizing maybe that one has a chance to be alive now, that there's life happening now, consciousness is happening now, and it's worth paying attention to notice what is what is really happening, what it is like to be a human being right now. How does, also as the Buddha says, how the world gets constructed, you know? How the, you know, when Rohitasa asks the Buddha, you know, like, is it possible by walking to reach the end of the world? And the Buddha says, no, not by walking, but you cannot reach the end of misery or suffering or stress without reaching the end of the world. And the world, its birth, the world itself, its birth, the end of the world, and the cause, anyway, there's a wording for it, close to the Four Noble Truths, but he says the world, the cause of the world, the end of the world, and the path to the end of the world is in this body here now. To me, that's really, wow. The world is created in this body with its mind and perceptions. That's the teaching. So Rohitasa is like ready to travel to the end of the world to understand, you know. And the Buddha says, here, Rohitasa, just in this fathom-long body is the world and the birth of the world, you know. And sitting here, we can see this. This is our chance this afternoon to sit here and notice how this suddenly arises a world, you know, where, you know, a world of future, of past, a world of me, a world of how the world is created in this, you know, there's just this body sitting, eyes closed, and suddenly, you know, huge production of a world where I will be like that and nobody understands me, or, you know, and here there's just a body sitting, but there's a creation of a world. So that's why we actually take this form of doing nothing, so it can be revealed how we create a selfless, a self worthless being, or a worth more being, or, you know, a fragmented being, or whatever sense of separation or whatever we create there with using, you know, sensations, images, crossing the mind, yeah. And so the chance to actually pay close attention, not be fooled, but be awake to what is happening, how it's perceived, how it's showing up, you know, how there's an owning happening. Again, you know, I'm mixing different texts here, and I hope you can follow me. I have a thread. You might not have access to it. I don't know if it's a thread or if it's an arborescent something, but in the text again, I like some of the very kind of simple and so deep things that are there. The Buddha says, you know, do you know the difference between a wise being and an unwise being? And you'll be able to notice in which group you find you find yourself with. A wise being, when they experience the element of earth, so it's this old, maybe archaic language of elements that is used here, but we're basically talking about pressure on the butt, maybe the earth element, you know, the hardness or the heaviness or something like. It says a wise being, when they have an experience of the earth element, like we have in sitting, says a wise person recognizes the earth element, that aspect of hardness or pressure, or, and et voila. The unwise being, they do the same. They recognize the earth element, meaning you might not think about it in this way, but you might feel like, oh my God, there's a lot of pressure on my calf or something. You know, so you, the unwise being recognizes the experience of earth, but they add a little something to it. And that's the problem. So they add mine or me, you know. And that's the little mistake there. They're mistaken. They think it's their, them or theirs, you know, when it's just a phenomena happening, you know, of earth element being known, you know. And that's the little difference between an unwise and a wise being. So that's why we sit doing nothing on our butt or ass, whatever is the word that is the most appropriate. I never know in English when how you describe this in a kid-like, gentle way. So, there. That sounds like a familiar language. So as we sit here, we'll notice how our world is created, our self is created. Like suddenly there'll be my. And so, and it's not like we have to let this go or not feel this and perceive it. Otherwise, we just take notice. Oh, that appears really as mine and me, you know. And we might at some point have a different experience of it and notice it. Oh, that was just a breath, you know. It was not me breathing, but just breathing happening, you know. Very natural occurrence in the world, you know, in the universe, breathing happening, yeah. And so we sit here to actually gain access, more clarity around our perceptions, and discover that our perceptions are just that, perceptions. They might not be exactly a description of reality. They might just be a take, an interpretation, a point of view about it. Not maybe exactly what's happening. Crazy. So let's see. And you might notice as you sit here that, you know, how can you really own a sensation of tingling that is already gone when you notice it, you know? That particular ting of the tingling, you know, that particular ting, when you notice it, it's gone. Maybe there's another one following, but that one is gone. Could that really have been you? If it was, you're gone. You know, if it was an arising, then yeah. And so we're clarifying that kind of confusion. Is that really me? That is this fear, or is that fear is present, or calm is present? Is that really you, or is present, is really alive, existing in operation, but maybe not exactly you? Are the thoughts all your thoughts, or are they thoughts that are lending in the mind, you know? I would like to stop thinking. Why do I keep thinking? Am I the thinker or the one who wants thoughts to stop? You know, so we can understand maybe that we really need to quiet down to actually tune in at that level. Otherwise, we're just like, you know, oh, I haven't washed my car in so many days. It's a good day to wash the car. You know, we're not on that level of investigating reality. We're caught in stories. Yeah. And so maybe one last little thing here. One of the arising that happens in retreat and in life, or have you noticed, is emotions. So emotions arise, you know, they you know, suddenly you'll have a wave. In French we say also in a beach, une plage de calme. So a beach of calm will happen, or a wave of agitation. And so these are... These emotions also are, we're invited to notice them, how they feel, be awake to them. Often we're caught in the emotions, and we go with them. And here we want to notice the effect on the body, on the heart rate, on the heaviness of the body, or the, you know, electric nature of an emotion in the arms, I don't know what. And other things that happen in emotions, you know, sometimes... different emotions will have different quality of thinking, no? If I'm a little impatient or charged, angry in some ways, my thought often have less subtlety to them, less nuance, you know? It's like, this always been like this, will always be like this, I know, you know? And a different mind state will have different kind of thinking, where nuances are more welcome, maybe, or the pace is different, or the sharpness or the charge or the volume or the tone. And so here as we sit, we'll notice how worlds are created with emotions. How suddenly the future appears bleak or hopeful, depending on if I'm in discouragement or hope, you know, that the world again is created. We were talking about this with June this morning, and I was saying I really like Charles Genoux's description of definition maybe of an emotion. I think he was saying something like an emotion is an imaginary kind of reaction. Something happens in the world, something happens that I can't control. You know, somebody goes that I wanted to stay, somebody says something, or something happens, and I can't actually control it. So because there's a lack of being able to do something, I create, there's a creation of an imaginary, it's an imaginary response to it. So I get really charged about it. And so it's an imaginative response in the lack of a capacity to respond in the world, you know. So there's a whole thing that arises in self. And that's very interesting to me when it happens. Like, I like to, you know, I would like the bell to ring and the person doesn't ring the bell. And so because I have a lack of, I cannot reach the darn stick, you know. So then I'll have like, suddenly there'll be like an emotion. So it'll come with sensations and opinions and believe they should do this and they, why don't they do that? That because there's nothing I could do outside, there'll be like a kind of a creation of a thing inside. So it's interesting to, might not be the definitive definition of it, but it's interesting to hold it like this if it arises, just to see like, wow, for lack of engaging, there's suddenly this old thing that it's an imaginary relationship to imagery, image coming in the mind and sensations and this creation of a world, you know. And so this is one of the things that can happen this afternoon, and it might not, you know, but it can be interesting to notice this, how I'll create a story of moi who's been wronged, you know, and I'll live the story internally because outwardly I don't have access to doing something maybe. So don't make this definitive, but it's just to kind of inspire us, actually. Just wanted to make sure I would help us avoid boredom being here, or not recognizing that there's an amazing opportunity this afternoon here in sitting.